This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy Cyber Monday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 1st, episode 1052, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Coming to you live from Santa's workshop at the North Pole, everyone's favorite elves, Jamie Jumperbottom and Glenn Scooter Pops.
You didn't know we had elf names, did you, Jamie?
I didn't. Did you use an elf generator? Elf name generator?
Jennifer. Yes, Jennifer was the elf name generator, and It was Jamie Jumperbottom and Glenn Scooter Pops. So.
Nice.
There you go. It's, awesome. It's appropriate. After your weekend, it's perfect.
I know.
I was just thinking about one for baby Luke, and I was thinking maybe baby Luke Diaper Bottom.
Yeah, or Poopy Bottom.
Poopy Bottom, yeah. Baby Luke Poopy Bottom. There you go. That's perfect elf name for him.
Nice.
Well, did you do any shopping over the weekend? Did you go out and fight the crowds? Did you beat people up for a TV set?
You know, we did actually, this is how sexy life as a farm owner was, is that Tractor Supply had a discount on rubber floor mats for stalls. So we went and got
floor! And I'm sure there was a crowd and you had to push people and you'd throw them down and you had to do all kinds of stuff just to get to them.
Yeah, this Tractor Supply is kind of in the middle of nowhere, Arizona. Not that packed, shocking. But they do allow your dog in, so I was able to take Zenyatta to Tractor Supply. That was kind of fun.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. What'd you guys do? Did you shop? Did you go crazy?
No, we did not. We didn't shop, really. You know, there's nothing I really want that bad for myself or to buy for anybody else that I'm going to fight people for it.
Yeah. I think people just go crazy for the electronics. Now, you know what I am doing right now, which is a little bit problematic, is I woke up at 4:30 this morning, just oddly enough, just one of those things, you just wake up and you're like, well, I might as well get up. I have been Cyber Monday shopping since 4:30 this morning. I've got a lot done.
There you go.
Yeah, it's getting ugly at this point. I had to go get a second credit card. Sorry, honey. I had to borrow your credit card. It's for your family. No, I got getting a lot of shopping done, and we've got a lot of Cyber Monday deals, and I'm going to post them on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And if you guys can add to them and help us out, like Bit of Britain, apparently this weekend was doing a 20% off VTO salary, 20% off Smart Pack. Like certain members got 20% off. I've been reading everybody's like happy stories or I didn't get 20%. I only got 10%. They're sending out emails. So you may have to sign up to be a part of the group, Smart Pack, but, buy one, get one Cosequin at Jeffers Equine. Seriously, that's a great deal. So I'm going to post these that I found, and maybe you guys could help out and post some of your Cyber Monday deals. You know, horse chicks need to stick together when we're shopping.
That's right. That's right. But you know that 40% of people say kids are their favorite people to shop for. Who do you think is the least favorite person to shop for?
Mother-in-law.
No, dad. Only 2% say dad is their favorite person to shop for. Is that because dads are just so hard to shop for, you think?
Yeah, they are. You know, if you're a dad out there, go ahead and throw out what you want. You know, just help us out a little bit. Because you know what my dad's going to get? Because I know he's not listening. I'm making him a birdhouse, okay? That's what he's going to get. I'm crafting it myself.
Should
because
I ask?
He didn't tell me.
Wait, is it going to have a shape, or are you attempting to make a shape? What's this?
Oh,
story?
No. I even bought it. I'm just going to paint it. with like red and black for UGA, University of Georgia colors. He'll love it. That's great. That's all he needs. I can't. What do you buy the man who has everything? You just can't. So, anybody else have any ideas? But what about mother-in-law for you, Glenn? Is it easy or no?
You know, nobody's easy for me because I don't give it that much thought. You remember till the day before Christmas. So, nothing's that easy when you have 5 minutes to think about it. You know, the top five presents this year are gift cards, clothing, toys, video games, and electronics. I think it's interesting that gift cards lead the way now. You know, it used to be years ago.
I'm a gift card buyer. No, you wouldn't, but now they have little cool credit cards, and they come in these little foldy pouches, so it looks like you did, you know, a little bit.
Oh, I love the ones. Actually, research. You were just talking about Tractor Supply. You can get them in little cans in Tractor Supply. Tractor Supply has little cool little gift card holders.
Well, now you know
right.
what to get.
So it actually makes you think you thought about it.
Yeah. Now that you can go.
Well,
to
while
the
we're on this, while you've been in your shopping mode all morning, what are the top three things men think women want? This is men think women want.
Quiz here. Top three things men think women want. Okay.
Yeah.
Kitchen items. They think we want kitchen items. We don't.
No, that's
is
not
that on the
list. I think men maybe have learned that that's a bad one.
You have learned. Lingerie?
Clothing is on the list. Just clothing is the top one.
Okay, yeah. Men don't shop for clothing for your woman.
I know. See, that's what I think. Is that's the you just don't do it. No. It's always wrong.
Clothing, kitchen items, like cleaning items?
Yep. Jewelry. Jewelry's on the list. Men think women. And, you know, we can get that right about half the time, don't you think? You know,
well,
we can get jewelry right.
Is this stuff that women actually might actually want? I was kind of thinking
these are the things men think women want. It's clothing, jewelry, and gift cards.
I like all those things. As long as the clothing is
in the form of a gift card.
Of my, yeah, exactly. It's in the form of diamonds or a gift card.
Now, women think guys want, okay? The three things that women think guys want.
Tools.
Is gift cards, cash, and tools. That's right. That is right. Gift cards, cash, and tools. By the way, I would take almost all of those, too. I wouldn't have a problem with any of those.
Yeah, I think that my husband would like all of those things.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
That's a good list. Good list.
Yeah, so the things that women don't want, according to Jamie, are kitchen, anything to do with the kitchen or the house. Anything to do with the barn is okay.
Yeah, obviously.
So. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Am I wrong,
and I want to buy my own damn clothing.
Yeah. Jim, do you want a vacuum for Christmas?
Only if it's one of those really cool industrial ones that vacuums the barn aisle for you.
That's a blower.
No, they make one. For barn aisles, they actually make a vacuum for that.
You know, that's going to be tough in our barn aisle because it's sand. So
yeah.
It's going to
be not for long.
Vacuum the ground.
We can't blow it either.
Yeah. Well, sorry. All right, Jennifer, what is coming up? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's on today's show while we just still have you here?
I'm going to go out and shop shortly. On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we've got a whole herd of horsey headlines to sort through, along with a smattering of weekend adventure stories. And then mid-show, Dr. Chang stops by to talk about quality control, the herbal edition. And at the finish, the Wacky World of Horse Station gives your funny bone a proper swack. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny goes out to Officer Adam Johnson, who is the head of the 12-member Mounted Patrol Unit in Austin, Texas, at the Austin Police Department. Well, it was 2:30 a.m. after midnight. He was loading up two horses onto the trailer to take them back to the barn after his shift that night. And this crazy guy decided to start shooting off rounds at the federal courthouse, the bank, and the Consulate General of Mexico. I'm not sure why that is. And the Austin Police Department. He was shooting up the police department, too. He shot 100 rounds total. into the buildings, and this officer happened to see it. Now, keep in mind, he had two horses. He was leading two horses at the time when all of this went down, and he managed to actually shoot the guy one-handed while holding the other two horses in the other hand. Now, anybody that's done target practice knows that you, normally you're taught to shoot with two hands because you can steady it and everything else. So imagine that you're holding two horses, which are probably, I don't care if the police horses are not, a little bit freaked out about the guy shooting 100 rounds. And you're standing there, and you actually get an accurate enough shot off to hit this guy. So that's why Adam Johnson, I was target shooting yesterday, so I can appreciate what he did there. Doing anything holding horses in your hands is difficult enough, but that's extra difficult. So,
holy smokes.
Yeah, good job there, Adam, and actually hitting something.
That's amazing. That's awesome. And while that's awesome, I'm going to tell you something that's even more awesome. Does it get any better than what happened, what took place? I know you guys have been waiting for me to say something. What took place in epic, easy fashion on Saturday? Take a listen.
Goes in, gates closed, they're all set. Feel for the Hollywood Derby sent on their way to a perfect start. And California Chrome just popped the gate and went straight to the lead. California Chrome not wasting any time. He's taken hold of the bit, and California Chrome sprinting away to the early lead. Sawyer's Hill is going to tuck into the second spot. Then a big gap of five lengths back to the filly Lexi Lou. Another four lengths behind that comes Cabral. And then we come back to Flamboyant and Talco. So they head to the 7/8 pole, and now Sawyer's Hill's gone on with it. Sawyer's Hill goes on to lead them. Victor Espinosa just sitting chilly here on California Chrome, just ambling along in the second spot. Then there's a gap of four lengths back to the filly Lexi Lou racing third. There's another three back to Cabral, who's back third last, then Flamboyant, and Talco is the early trailer. Spread out over quite a lot of ground as they go down the back stretch, and Sawyer's Hill and Rafael Bejarano are going to try to steal it out here now. Leads it by three lengths. But California Chrome absolutely idling in second. Victor Espinosa, big look back from him, confidently goes up to the leader. Now the rest of them closing in. Flamboyant, Lexi Lou. Behind that, Cabal and Talco. The whole picture changes as they go into the turn now. Sawyer's Hill still clinging on to this lead. California Chrome, now Victor Espinosa just shakes the reins at him. And California Chrome up to get the lead at the top of the lane. Sawyer's Hill is trying to dig deep in second. Lexi Lou and Flamboyant homeward bound. And California Chrome in full flight for the wire. The filly Lexi Lou's run a brave one. But just look at California Chrome. California Chrome is California's hot drop, wins it easily. California Chrome never raised a sweat. Lexi Lou second. Then came Talco. Behind that was Flamboyant.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you how the announcer should have ended that race. Here comes California Chrome, Lexi Lou in second, and then some other horses came in third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Yeah.
Like, there was nobody else. You know, Lexi Lou is a filly that won the Queen's Plate in California, in Canada, and she's like the Canadian champion right now. She's undefeated, and so it was going to be like, you know, North America versus Canada. It was the champion versus champion, and I swear to you, California Chrome broke from the gate and, like, ran away. And it's like Victor Espinosa was like, hey, let's just slow down a little bit. And he slowed him down, let that other horse kind of take the lead for a while. And then he just didn't even look like he was trying. He is back, baby. I was standing in front of my TV screaming at the top of my lungs. It was so exciting. And it was just so fun. It was one of those, he's coming down the home stretch. And those of you that have seen the movie Secretariat are going to understand this reference. But when you see him galloping down the home stretch, like, Ronnie, don't fall off. Like, that's the only way he's going to lose. He fell off. So it was such an exciting race. And, you know, I really feel like the trainer's Art Sherman, the owner really has kind of, he's still very, much loves the microphone, but he was just kept saying how it was for the fans and everybody that supported California Chrome. And that was a record crowd at Del Mar over the weekend to go see California Chrome. That horse just emanates stupendous energy. People love him. There is no way in my mind now that winning the Santa Anita Derby, then winning the Derby and the Preakness and coming in third in the Breeders' Cup and then winning the Hollywood Derby, there's no way that he's not Horse of the Year. Come on! Do you agree? Disagree?
I agree. You know what? Horse of the Year is so political, and these owners just don't fit the mold. You know what I mean? It's so political. So we'll see. That's the only thing I think that would keep him out. And, you know, maybe California Chrome has a new career on turf. This was his first run on turf and did very well. So,
yeah, he made it look easy.
So who knows?
He really did. He really made it easy.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he should have it. But, boy, that horse of the year never is who you really think it should be. So it's going to be tough.
Hence,
hey, before
Rachel Alexandra winning it over Zenyatta. Just saying. We'll let that go, though, because she did win it the next year.
Speaking of racing, Franco, of course, the horse that we all followed for a number of years here out of Europe, his babies didn't do so well at the auction over the weekend. The first crop of babies are coming into the auction, and they were expecting great things, and they were going to set records and all of this. Three out of the fourth remained unsold because they didn't meet the minimums. And ended up being sold, you know, away from the auction. Now, one did sell, and it was out of a classic-winning mare, Finskiel. I don't know how to even say it. Finskiel Bow set an Irish record of 1.8 million euros at the auction. But the other three didn't sell, didn't make their minimum. So I don't know what that means. But everybody thought they would go for big
conversions. I'm trying to figure out what
$2.2 million.
Wait, no, it's 200,000 guineas.
Oh, I don't
know
what 200,000 guineas is.
Because they didn't sell one for that, and so I'm trying to figure out. Let's see, from guineas. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm having a hard time. I can't do it. I'm not smart.
I don't even know what is a guinea an English thing, a British thing? I don't know.
Let's not display our ignorance and just move on.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. That'd be a good idea.
So some of them didn't get sold, but I think they were really hoping for an awful lot. And as weanlings, you know, they don't get sold quite as much. So people like to flip those horses.
Unless they're
and buy
a Zenyatta baby, of course.
Well, they don't sell those.
That's true. Well, let's talk a little bit about a video you posted yesterday. You're still rocking and rolling and jumping, Miss Jamie Jumper Bottom. Yeah.
I know. I had so much fun. I went to another riding lesson. Not much to tell. I just feel like Edward's getting a little smarter. So I posted.
Oh, you were jumping 3 feet, weren't you?
3.3, his highest ever. So it was really, really fun. I took a jumping lesson with a girlfriend of mine, and she and I rode together, and we rode with this awesome trainer that I found out here. She lives 10 minutes from me, trained out of this barn. She moved here about 6 months ago. I've taken one or two lessons from her, but I really realized she's really great, and she's so close. That's really the main sell, is she's so close, and she's awesome, and she's moving in a week. I'm really bummed. You guys
know
how
to drive to now to find her.
Well, remember Barb Crabo? I love taking lessons with her, but she lives a dang hour and 40 minutes one way. So it's hard for me to get up there with the baby. It's super easy for me to go, Chad.
This lady's moving how far away?
Northern California. I'm screwed.
Oh, that's more than an hour and a half.
It's like 18 hours away, one way.
Yeah, that ain't cool. Why is she? Is she moving just because she doesn't like the area or job or what?
No, she's moving because in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona, there's only probably three people that can jump 3.3. And she's the intermediate level eventer. And I'm one of the three that can jump 3.3. And my girlfriend I rode with was the other. So
you mean people aren't jumping 3.3 in their Western saddles there in the western part of Arizona?
Yeah, not so much. Yeah. Not so much. Yeah. West Valley, Arizona is pretty darn Western. And that's why, I teach you know, kids and teenagers that are learning. And there's you know, a big difference between kids that are jumping 2 foot and somebody that's eventing at training and prelim, you know, so, which is what my friend does. So it's tough. And yeah,
we didn't see John Rain ride into Tombstone on an English saddle, did we?
No, they don't post. But did you see that freaking picture that I posted on Horses in the Morning Facebook page last week? It is so hilarious. I should repost it just in case you
guys
don't see it.
Oh, yes, yes, of the hunky guys.
There are two shirtless men. They are carrying, one is carrying ropes. They've got tattoos. It looks like they're heading to, you know, they're heading to, go, they got cowboy hats on. They're like, heads are down so you can't see their faces. But the thing says, I don't always rope shirtless. And they're carrying ropes and halters. And you see that one of them is carrying, in one hand, an English saddle. But when I do, I use the wrong saddle. Was that hilarious? I'm sorry, there's shirtless guys going to rope, and they've got ropes and muscles, and they're going to rope with an English saddle. That was hilarious.
Yeah, somebody didn't proof that one.
No, somebody that doesn't know horses.
Hey, we headed out.
And it's a crappy English saddle, too. Sorry.
Yeah, it looks like about a $12 one. We headed out to the Florida Horse Park. We took Glory out there to take a walk around the Florida Horse Park, which is a large expanse of space, and it's, you know, it's the host of, or it's the place where they all the eventers have events here. They all come to Ocala now. More and more eventers are leaving the Carolinas now and heading to Ocala, so it's become a you know, the staple of events over the winter here. And they're trying to put some money into it. The state actually has coughed up $4 million, $2 million to put up a covered arena, which is enormous, Jamie. This thing is enormous.
$2 million
to put up this covered arena. And let me tell you what, we went out to see it because we hadn't seen it completed yet. And Jennifer is going to post some pictures on our Horse of the Morning Facebook page. But this thing could withstand, they said it had to withstand a hurricane. Well, there is no question about it. When you see the steel they used to put this thing up, that it ain't going anywhere in a storm. But it is enormous. I mean, it is huge. So they're going to be able to do some things in there. They said they would be able to do, what, 3 dressage rings in there at a time? And they're going to do portable seating, so there's no seats there. You know, they're going to do portable seating for events and rodeos and stuff. But you'll be able to use that for a lot of different things. And then the other thing they're doing, their barns are really old and running and falling down. They put them up about 12 years ago, and they were supposed to be one-year barns. You know, they put them up quick to be temporary. And they're still there. So they're putting up all new barns. They're spending $2 million on new stabling. So they're trying to make it a destination place more than just for the winter and for all kinds of things. They would really like it to be the Kentucky Horse Park, you know, but it's never going to be that. But, you know, it's going to be a really good facility because it's a ton of acres involved. They have a beautiful polo field. And, of course, everything's flat. So with the polo field, they probably didn't have to do anything, you know, except water the grass.
Just water the grass every now and then.
The polo players were actually out there practicing when we were out there. Boy, when you think about polo, Jamie, you know, the rider has to work 4 horses. So when you're out there practicing, you've got a lot of practicing to do because you've got to work every one of those horses.
Is that what one rider has, 4 horses?
4 horses. Yeah, usually it's 4, right, Jennifer? 4 or 5. Sometimes the strings will be 6, I think. 4, yeah. But they'll have some extras along sometimes, too. But, yeah, you have to work 4 horses.
I don't like to work 4 horses, and I don't play polo in one day. And they do it really quick. Back to back to back to back, probably. That's crazy. Yeah. No, that's really cool. Hey, I found a story, Glenn, that I'm surprised you didn't find. But because you love the stories about drunk people doing stupid things like punching police horses and all this, I've one-upped the punching a police horse story.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. So there's a guy in Portland who, 24-year-old Bradley Miller, and he decided to go to a bar and get blackout drunk. Like, so incredibly drunk that he didn't know where he was. He has little recollection of the night, but all he remembers is seeing, as is his quote, "I remember seeing horses and petting the horses." Now, when one is getting blackout drunk, it's never a good thing to end up in a barn. But apparently, while he was blackout drunk, on his way to catch a bus, he decided to break into a stable through a window. And then he proceeded to set all of the horses free. The bad news is he broke into a stable that was owned by the police department, and they were all police horses. So apparently burglary alarms were activated upon him entering. So the police did reach the scene very quick. Some horses did receive injuries to the legs from rubbing on debris on the outside. Miller was charged with second-degree burglary, 2 counts of second-degree animal abuse, 3 counts of second-degree criminal mischief, and 5 counts of third-degree criminal mischief. Listen, man, I'm not one to talk. I'm not one to judge. But really, I think you should maybe stop drinking.
That's an expensive drunk night, isn't it? That's an expensive drunk. Right there.
Yeah. He set 5 horses free from the Mounted Patrol Unit in Portland.
I assume they caught them. I assume they found them, the horses.
Oh, yeah. They caught all of them. They were just right outside. The police said they got there so quick because he was in there petting the horses for a while before he set them free. And when he went in, like, all the alarms went off. So they were able to get there pretty darn quick, and the horses were right outside. But no major injuries. Gosh, what an idiot.
I can't believe I didn't see that story. I don't know, I missed that.
It's pretty awesome.
Hey, you want to talk about one of the coolest people, and I think everybody agrees with this, in the horse world is Charlotte Desjardins. She is just so cool. And there was an article in the Telegraph over in the UK about her this weekend. And, you know, she's one of the most humble people. We've interviewed her, and she's just so humble, and she really truly is. I mean, you know, we all know some of the, you know, professional riders can get, their heads can get a little big, and you know, they know they are, and they get a little... You know, they get a little hoity-toity, not with her at all. You know, she, in this article, there were a couple quotes that she had that I wanted to read. She's, you know, she has won 2 gold medals. She's won almost everything there is to win championship-wise in Europe, the World Championships, World Cup. She owns 3 dressage world records with her horse. And, you know, with Allegro. So, you know, she has all of these accomplishments, and she really is on top of the dressage world right now. And, you know, this is one of her quotes. I know she giggles, if I never competed again, it wouldn't bother me. I don't care. It's insane to have won all of those things. Not possible. But what I love is learning, which never stops and has nothing to do with the medals you've won. I love having horses from a young age and seeing how far they can go. That's why success hasn't changed me, because I don't want to be famous or do TV or be a model or be recognized in a shop. I'm not interested. There's nothing worse. And, you know, most celebrities you hear say something like that don't really mean it. She does. You know, we know her well enough to know that she does. She apparently loves being home. She has a boyfriend, and she loves being home. But one of her coolest experiences it talks about in this article, and you're going to like this, is her most memorable meal of 2014, they asked her. And she said, in January, there was this phone message for me. I rang back, and this lady, very posh, said, Her Majesty the Queen asked you to join her for lunch on May the 8th. I couldn't think why I was invited, but I knew there'd be a lot of cutlery. I thought that was funny. Apparently the Queen does these signature lunches where she invites a whole bunch of guests, like 10 of them at a time. And Desjardins said, I couldn't believe it. This is how normal she is. She says, I couldn't believe it. I was just so nervous beforehand that I arrived miles too early and was driving up and down for ages outside. It was pretty scary. So and I've done that, too, because I like to get places early where you just drive around because you know you're early. So you just keep – I've never done that for a lunch with the Queen. She said she'd been to Buckingham Palace before for an Olympians reception and something else. She said, and then at lunch, I was blown away. Obviously, the Queen was very horsey herself, but she knew everything that I had done. She was lovely, and Prince Philip was so funny. It was just such a nice privilege, the best thing I've ever done in the whole world. So, you know, how cool is that, that we have Charlotte Desjardins arriving early for her lunch with the Queen and just driving round and round, getting more nervous as you go? We've all done that for interviews.
It's good to be Charlotte. It's good to be Charlotte. I'm having lunch with the Queen. And that, well, how cool would that be to be one of the 10 people? Like, you know that movie Dinner with Schmucks? It's like the opposite of Dinner with Schmucks, like lunch with awesomeness. Like, that'd be so cool. It'd be so cool.
And, of course, nobody thinks the Queen follows you, right? Even though, even Charlotte. It's like, why would the Queen follow me? Yet the Queen's there watching TV, too. She's watching the World Equestrian Games. She sees what you're doing in the Olympics. But yeah, you don't think about that, right? Even if you're Charlotte, you don't think the Queen's watching. You would even know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. What a cool lady. Jennifer, if you could post the link to that article on our Facebook page. There's just so much more to the article. Talks about all the food she likes and all that kind of stuff, too. But it's a neat article. We'll post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning.
Well, hey, our guest is ready, and I'm so excited to talk to him because I was just thinking about him yesterday, and you're going to love why, Dr. Chen. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Now, if you recall, several months ago when we had you on, you said, because, you know, I had recently had a baby, and you said all people talk about when they have a baby is what? Do you remember what you said?
The quality of the poop.
Exactly. Is the baby pooping? When was the last time the baby pooped? What's the quality? Oh my God! I thought you were crazy then. That is not crazy. That is absolutely 100% true. And when I come home and my husband says the baby had a big poo, I think of you, Dr. Cheng. I think of you.
I was just going to comment on your last story there. You know, if I ever got invited to go have lunch with the Queen, the first thing I would say is, has Jamie and Glenn been up to something? They're the ones, you know, somebody's out there pulling my leg.
Listen, Dr. Chang, neither one of us can fake an English accent very well, so you'll know.
I might have to send back an email to the Queen then and say, well, I'll get my people to talk to your people, and we can do lunch, right?
Yeah, Dr. Chang. You just sit and wait on that invitation. I'm sure it's coming anytime.
It's coming in it'll be a long time coming.
We haven't got those yet either, Dr. Chang. We're waiting, but it hasn't
Any day now. Well, hey, so talk to us a little bit about what's going on over at Omega Alpha. First of all, can I just say that I now have one of my horses on Minarec, and I'm really feeling like things are going well. His hair color my horse Jet never looks good in the winter. He just never thrives very well, even though it's not cold, that cold here, but he just never looks very thrifty. And I put him on Minarec, and I've already seen some improvements. He's been on it for about a month, and I just wanted to thank you and maybe explain what that is, because I was trying to explain it to Glenn, and I said, well, I'll just ask Dr. Chang to explain.
About Minarec?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the reason Minarec would work for all those things is good for hooves, but a lot of it because it has all that B vitamins in there, in what I call horse dose. It also has a lot of minerals, especially the trace minerals, things like selenium, zinc, copper, boron, silicon. All those things are vital for a lot of enzyme functions. And if you think about how many enzyme functions are going on in a horse or any living being, right, it's quite a bit. And sometimes these enzymes, these minerals are cofactors in all these enzyme biochemical reactions. So if you're able to provide that to the animal, he or she will blossom. So you find that their hair grows better. You'll also find that their hooves are a little bit stronger also. So it's one of those essential nutrients that you give to your horse, and you see an overall improvement in the animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been a month that I've already seen that, and I just want to thank, he works for you guys, Jeff Grimes, who suggested that to me, and just because, like, I just kind of told him what's going on with my horse, and he sent that, and he's like, this is what you need to try, and I just couldn't be happier, and Jeff is such a great sales rep for you guys here in the United States. So
Jeff is our director of the U.S. sales And Jeff is a very knowledgeable horseman. He knows. I mean, he himself owns standardbred horses, and so he a lot of his horses get to be guinea pigs on some of our stuff. So when he's telling you something, it's all from first hand knowledge. Because I believe he's probably tried everything we produce on his horses.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, cool. Yeah. If anybody wants to ask him any questions, just send me a message, Jamie at Horse Radio Network, and I'll put you guys in contact with him or anybody from Omega Alpha who can help you. Anyway, I didn't mean to change the topic today, but we're going to talk a little bit about your quality control procedures.
Yeah. One of the reasons I thought it'd make a good topic was because a lot of people always wonder about quality control. Not so much the quality as in the finished product. They always wonder, how do you guys not get herbs mixed up? Because most people, they see a blade of grass, or they see a leaf, or they see a branch or a root. They all look alike, okay?
Yeah.
And one of the things that, when we first started, you know, we had those things in mind because God help us if we mix things up, right? Especially
right.
If you put in, like if you get a coffee bean or something that, or tea leaf in there that actually causes, will give you a positive caffeine test because tea has caffeine, of course, right? Or something like guarana. Well, one of the things that we had always instituted from day one was that any herbs we use or roots or branches, we always got it in a whole form. We never bought it ground up into a fine powder. And the reason we did that was because on a macroscopic level, you can actually look at the leaves and you can identify the leaves, right? You had to have some knowledge, of course. You couldn't just walk off the streets and do that. But once you knew what the leaves looked like, it was very difficult to tell. It was not difficult, I should say, to tell the real stuff from fake stuff. So you couldn't actually adulterate the product by putting in stuff that's not supposed to be there. So that was one of the first things we did. But
now,
more
wait a
recently,
minute, Dr. Chang, before you go on.
Yeah.
So now that meant that a lot of this stuff is coming from China and from other countries because they just don't grow here, right?
That's right.
So
you're
shipping like the whole branches and stuff. That's
Yeah, well, no, the branches, what they do, they break it up and they compact it down, and that's how they ship it. Now, once it gets here, now we buy from all over the world. I mean, some plants come from India, some comes from China, some comes from even the good U.S. of A., and some actually grows here in Canada, right? You know, so things like slippery elm, marshmallow root, all that comes in from the U.S. of A., right? The echinacea comes from Canada. Like, we try to source as close to home as possible. Sometimes, as you said, if I'm looking for, say, angelica, which is Dong Quai root, well, you know, not much is grown in the U.S. or Canada, so it has to come in from China, for example. But one of the things that we always do when we get the herbs is that we check for heavy metals and we check for pesticides. And anything that doesn't pass our test gets shipped back to its point of origin. We do not accept it. Okay? So that's it. But one of the things is identification is a big thing for us because if you have the wrong herb in there, right, you know, especially if it could give you a positive test because somebody slipped in the wrong herb or mixed it up, not on purpose, but they just mixed it up. So identifying it visually is a big plus. But another thing that we have also done, which is within the last 3 years, we've instituted fingerprinting of these herbs. And it sounds funny when you say fingerprinting, but every herb has a unique set of compounds that it produces. So what we do is that we take what's called a methanol extract. We use methanol and extract out the active components from the herb. And then we run it through the HPLC. The high pressure HPLCs or high pressure liquid chromatography. So all the herbs that we've used, we have right now a fingerprint of all the herbs. Now, to be fair, we don't know what all the compounds are, but we know from plant to plant to plant, each will have a unique set of compounds that it produces, right? And that way, we're able to actually identify whether the herb is the same as the one we used the last time or not, right? Meaning from the same.
Wow.
You know, so it, you know, it's one of the things that we have instituted.
Omega Alpha CSI.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm yeah.
You know, so, you know, those are the ways that we do. Now, another thing that people always worry about is how do you know none of these herbs contain banned substances? Well, fortunately, in the medical literature or in the scientific literature, there's a lot of information about these herbs as to what the compounds are, right? And based on what we see in the medical literature or the scientific literature, we can safely say, well, these herbs do not contain, right? Because we have a list of all the banned substances as published by the FEI. So based on that list, we're actually able to identify and compare. So as long as it's not there, we're happy as a pig in poop, as they say.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, sorry. Carry on.
I was just going to say, and the last part of all of this is on the finished product level, we also check to see the bacteria content, you know, and so on. So most of our products being liquid, they're fairly sterile in the sense that the bacterial content in them is as close to zero as humanly possible, right? So we make sure that whatever is going out there can even be used by people, right? And one of the things I always say to all of our end users, the horse product, the quality of the herbs we use is the same as what we use for people and for the pets. Just because when we buy the herb, we just buy one grade of herb. It's much easier to do it that way.
Now, listening to all of this, Dr. Chang, it just tells me one thing, that I need to just pay you to do everything. If I need something, I just call you, because obviously you guys know what you're doing, and that is just some really big brain stuff, and we certainly do appreciate you using your power for good.
We aim to please. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We try our best. Because, you know, we have a lot, our reputation, you know, is a function of what we're able to do, right? And so we want to be able to produce a product where people will pick up and say, you know, this is a good product. I know they have good QC in place, and I can use this without worrying. That's the key, you know.
Yeah.
And we also have the typical things like traceability and so on. Like, we can go back, for example, I can look at a batch of product that we have produced, say 3 years ago, and I could go back and say, okay, this was produced with this lot of herb and this batch of herb, etc. And we can tell where it came from, when it came in, and all that type of thing, right? That's all part of the ongoing QC that we have in place.
Well, we would like to talk about one thing called the Oasis Professional Training, and it says it's a training forum for coaches, trainers, and athletes. And what you do is you have educational seminars. So talk to us, first of all, what is Oasis Professional Training?
Oasis is our education arm of Omega Alpha. Because one of the things that we have realized is that people have a knowledge of a certain herb, for example, but we use a lot of herbs that a lot of people don't know about. And to be fair, the general knowledge amongst John Q. public is really not that great when it comes to herbs and supplements, etc. A lot of it is a function of, well, you know, Joe up the street uses this product, so, you know, what the hell, I'll give it a roll too. Right. What we're trying to do with this is to make an educated consumer. Right. An educated consumer, in our mind, is our best asset, because if they know what questions to ask, they know what to look for when they see a product. This is what we're trying to do with this. But, you know, it's a long haul, because, you know, we get educated consumers one at a time. There's no easy way to do this. But, you know, I've always said we are one of the few companies out there that has even make an attempt at doing this.
Right.
You know, and because our products sold over the counter, not through the vets, right, the educated consumer is even more of an asset. Just because with the vets, you know, they basically recommend, and people will say, okay, Dr. So-and-so recommended this, well, it must be good, I'll use it, right? Whereas with the educated consumer, they have to have a reason to try the product, and it has to be based on their own knowledge. So that is why we've done that.
And putting it in the hands of the consumer, you know, to educate the consumer, I've always said education breeds interest. And if you get people interested and learning about what they're feeding their horses, they're going to seek more knowledge and more information. And
definitely,
you guys are the place to go for that. Now, there is an educational seminar that's going to happen from 7 to 8 Eastern, and it's going to be on December 4th. This one is a do not miss, you guys. Ask the nutritionists. Who doesn't need to sit down and talk to an equine nutritionist? It's going to be online for the special evening. The Oasis team members are going to be there. Questions on pet, equine, or human health are absolutely welcome. And you guys, to register, it's super easy. Just call 1-800-651-3172. We'll post this on our Facebook page. 1-800-651-3172. Ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code. And the list of the topics and dates for all of them is in the educational section, both on the U.S. and Canada sites. So OmegaAlphaEquine.com is one of them. OmegaAlpha.ca is the one for Canada. So you guys, check it out. Register. Ask all those questions that you have had for the nutritionist. Did I miss anything, Dr. Chang?
I think you got it all. Thank you,
Jane. You don't even know, do you? You don't even know. They tell me. They know better than to tell you. Oh, you guys, find more
you
information.
You don't know how true that is.
I absolutely do know how true that is. You're amazing. Bless your heart. All right, check it out, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Thank you, Dr. Chang. We love
Thank
you.
Merry Christmas, Dr. Chang.
Merry Christmas
Merry
to you,
Christmas.
Too.
We'll talk to you in 2015.
I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Yes,
you know,
we did.
Ate a lot of turkey.
Yeah, that's right. And we're not going to talk to you now until 2015, which, wow, 2015. That seems like 10 years away.
I know. Oh, well. When I was a kid, I could only dream of 2015. Anyway,
that's right.
Have a good week, everyone.
All right. Thanks,
you
Dr. Chang.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, today, because I'm officially sanctioned and permitted to play Christmas songs now until Christmas. But before we do that, I am going to throw Jamie a bone, the literal bone.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to throw you a bone and allow you the choice of one song before we go into Christmas mode. Now it's up to you. I have a whole bunch of
pressure's on
here. All your favorites are here.
Okay, do we go Jared Rodgerson, Peace, Love, and Horses? Do we go Girls and Horses, Templeton Thompson? Templeton Thompson, Glenn, do you have this one ready? In honor of the awesome weekend at the Hollywood Derby, do you have Bring It On Home, Chrome by Templeton Thompson?
Hold on. I wasn't counting on that one. Just wait.
Are you serious?
I'm looking. Give me a second.
You've got to have Bring It Home, Chrome.
I have it. Yes, have it.
Bring
It Home, Chrome. And you're going to hear that just for Jamie. By the way, for all you who love Christmas, unlike Jamie, you'll be hearing all of the Christmas tunes from now on.
I love Christmas. I just get tired of Christmas music when it dangs the 1st of December.
Right after the first from
Equestrian. It's time to start planning a custom gift that will last for many years to come. Visit our friends at ezsignsonline.com and browse their unique website for their many custom sign options and styles.
With affordable prices for customized signs starting at $39.95, your holiday gift giving just got easier. Their step-by-step online sign ordering process allows you to choose only the sign options you want and see all the pricing up front. From horse farm entrance signs, vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs to stall nameplates, and much, much more for every horse owner. Place your order early to allow plenty of time for Christmas delivery. Check out the website today at ezsignsonline.com. That's ezsignsonline.com or call them at 1-800-640-8180. That's 1-800-640-8180.
Let's hear it for the cat.
Bring It On Home Chrome by Templeton Thompson. Special request of Jamie Jumper Jumper Bottom. I gotta learn that elf name. You are listening to Horses of the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. I noticed she didn't give herself an elf name. We'll have to help her with that. Jennifer, she didn't come up with one of those for herself. Okay, for December, I decided to do a quote of the day. So my quote of the day is by C.S. Lewis, and it is this. Isn't it funny how day by day nothing changes, but when we look back, everything is different? That is so true. You know, when I read that today, I went, wow, that is so true, because you're living day by day. And you know how when your mom calls and say, what's new? Ah, not much. You know, you always say, ah, not much.
Read that quote again. I think I missed part of it.
Isn't it funny how day by day nothing changes? You know, day after day, nothing seems to change, but when we look back, everything is different.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good point.
That is true. Anyway, a couple of programming notes for the week coming up. We have our jumping episode with Emily Thompson tomorrow. She has a great show planned for that. Road to the Horse on Thursday. And then something special starting next week. Mary Kitzmiller, who is a Road to the Horse competitor and a superstar trainer, is going to be joining us the second Thursday of every month starting next week. And she's going to be talking training. And this is mainly focusing on training for babies and the original breaking of horses, things like that. So she's going to colt starting, you know. Why do they call it colt starting? Don't they ever start the fillies, by the way? Doesn't anybody ever start fillies?
It's very sexist.
Prejudice. It is. It's sexist. You're right. You're absolutely right. So what do you call it? Baby horse starting?
Filly.
Maybe that's why they call it colt starting. It was easier. I don't know.
I just used, by the way, a random Christmas name generator elf thing for Jennifer.
Oh,
and her name, according to this, is Ginger Snap Ember Spice. She is a very independent, strong-willed elf who loves to be a rebel.
So can we just call her Ginger Snap for the rest of the month?
Jennifer Snap, I think. Jennifer Snap Ember
Spice.
There,
I like that.
Jennifer Snap.
That she makes, this is what she makes. She makes ferocious toy dinosaurs for all the bad little children.
That all kind of fits.
That kind of fits when I'm making. Yeah.
That does kind of fit. That does kind of fit.
That's hilarious. Let's see.
Well, now,
I'm going to post a link to this if I have more fun.
We haven't talked to you. It's been a week. So we haven't talked to you since, remember last week I made the announcement that everybody's going to want to listen to the driving radio show because David Saunders was co-hosting and he had his special announcement to make. And we can talk about it now because it is out on the driving radio show if you want to hear him tell it. But basically he got a call from Walt Disney World. And they have a new movie coming out. They have a new Cinderella movie. I don't know if you've seen the trailer yet, but it looks really good. It's a live-action Cinderella movie. And, of course, there within a Cinderella movie, there's always the pumpkin coach, right? The pumpkin that turns into a coach pulled by white horses. And they have a pumpkin coach that they made. They filmed this all in Europe, mostly in England, I guess. And they are shipping the pumpkin coach. I put pictures of it on the Driving Radio Show Facebook page. A very elaborate coach that they're shipping over to here, and they wanted David to drive it in the parade at Disney World with his boss's white horses, so with her gray Spanish horses. So that's what's going to happen.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be hitching four of them up. December the 9th, they're filming for the Christmas Day parade. You know, the Christmas Day parade they always put on Christmas Day. And they have it from Disney World, Disneyland, and that's what they're filming for. And this coach with Cinderella and Prince Charming will lead the parade. He'll be driving it. He actually went down last week to Disney World before it opened at 5:30 in the morning and Magic Kingdom. Isn't that cool, by the way? He's in there with just the workers, and they did a couple of run-throughs with the horses. And he said all the workers wanted a ride. So, and he said all the execs were there, and they wanted a ride. So he said, I was giving people rides. And so he is going to do that, but that's on December the 9th. It's very difficult to get in there and watch because they kind of, because of it's filming the parade, they run the parade over and over and over again, and they kind of corral you into space and don't let you leave. So that's kind of hard to watch. So what they've done is they called him up then a couple days later and asked him if he would come back and lead all the Christmas parades at the Magic Kingdom from December 21st through January 5th. So he will be doing that. His owner agreed to let him use the horses. They're going to be housed there at Disney World. And he's going to be driving in both daily parades, leading the parade, pulling the pumpkin carriage with Cinderella on board every day for that whole period of time through Christmas at Magic Kingdom. And he was very excited. You know, David, he drove in the royal parade with Princess Diana. He drove Prince Philip, I think, in that parade. And he was in it with millions of people watching, 70 million people around the world. He was so excited about doing this at Disney World. He was just so excited about doing this.
Yeah, that's
so, he was like a little
so cool.
Kid.
Oh, are you serious? He's so cute.
Yeah, you know, because he's done all the big parades. He's driven around the world, and he's like, but I've never driven it. Who gets to drive down the main street at Disney? Nobody.
That's so awesome.
Cool.
That's awesome. So he was not in the movie. He was, because I was thinking, how is he about to do this? And the trailer's already come out. So I didn't know if it was like had happened already.
Nope, he's not in the movie. He's not driving him in the movie because that was all filmed in Europe. But he will be at Disney at Magic Kingdom at Disney World doing the driving and the parades. So, and you know what was funny is this is a funny thing, and you'll hear it if you take a listen to the driving radio show for last week. He said when he was doing it, he was all serious, and the lady who's running it, who we interviewed for last week's episode, said, David, you know, when we're actually doing the parades, I know, you know, you're used to doing the royal things, and doing the royal things, the drivers of those carriages are not allowed to smile or wave or nothing. They just have to look ahead and look serious. She said, you're allowed to smile and wave and have a good time. So he said, the rest of the morning, I was waving at the workers. Because he actually, get this, drives those four horses with one hand, with the reins woven between his fingers. So
that's
he can wave
cool.
with the other hand. He was so excited that he was going to be able to smile in a parade.
How fun. How fun. Yeah. Well, good for him. That's so exciting.
Yeah, and by
it
comparison,
is. And you know, yeah.
Glenn can't stand still with P.T. Scooter with the reins in one hand.
No, in both hands. I can't stand still with P.T. Scooter. He just doesn't like to stand still too well. So that, you know, it was just so cool for me because I know David now for a while. And, you know, he can be kind of serious because he's grown up in that world working for the Queen that you're kind of serious all the time. But to hear him in this episode, you have to go back and listen to the driving radio show and hear him because he was so excited about it. And Gloria Austin, his boss, whose horses they are, who's the coachman for, she was giddy with the possibility of him using the horses for the parade. You know, because, you know, as Jennifer said, you work for the Queen, but now he's stepped up in the world because now he works for the mouse. So.
There's only one higher than the Queen.
Queen.
And that is the mouse.
That's right. Well, it is time to talk to one of our favorite people of the week. And now, coming to us live from Horse Nation, our own Rockin' Elf, Smiley Wiley, with the Wacky World of Horses. Yes, we gave her her own elf name, Smiley Wiley. How are you, Wiley?
Smiley Wiley. I've heard that one before.
Well, we came up with, if you'd like a better elf name, we can work on that. Jamie is Jamie Jumper Bottom. I am Glenn Scooter Pops. And Jennifer is what again, Jamie? That was a long one. What was that again?
I posted it on Facebook, but I've got Leslie. I found an elf name generator, Christmas name generator, and your elf name is Snowball Brandy Lights. Hi, Snowball.
Love it.
Oh,
Snowball
she likes
Brandy.
To drink brandy.
Yes, that's right. We could change that around a little bit to Snowball. We'll just call you Snowball the rest of the month.
Hi, Snowball.
Okay.
Well, Leslie, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Leslie, must be scared to death every time you come on this show. You must just be frightened of what we're going to talk about.
Because I'm going to complain. I have a complaint. That
whole
vote for your favorite in the stirrup, win the stirrups and all that was ridiculous. First of all, I never even saw a place to vote. Second of all, the girl with the bunny just took over the world, from what I understand. It was not even a concept.
She deserved it. I think, is she the one that's leading? I can't remember. Yeah, we have to announce the winner today. I don't even know who the winner is.
I just want you to know that when I got my stirrups off the cactus, I bled. Okay? I bled. So, there you go.
We're going to send you a consolation prize.
A Band-Aid. Band-Aid.
Sports Nation Band-Aid. That's the genius marketing.
Oh, man.
Well, it is Black Friday. It's time to shop. Jamie has posted some of the deals that she has found. And you had an article, 5 Tips for Black Friday and Cyber Monday Shopping. It's Cyber Monday, sorry. And you posted up there. So you have some tips for us as well for our shopping.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not big on the Black Friday, but I'm all over the Cyber Monday. I don't think I've ever done the Black Friday thing.
Morning shopping. She's been up since 4:30 this morning. She never gets up early voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm big shop.
So now, okay, so what do you got for us? What are our tips? What do I need to do or not do?
Okay, so Carla Lake, who's our weekend editor, sort of came up with this list of tips for kind of keeping yourself on track. It's easy to get really excited when everyone's having sales and everything's marked down and then you just end up, speaking from experience, buying everything. And it kind of defeats the point. So she had some tips for kind of keeping it together, staying organized, to make sure that you're shopping efficiently and getting the best deals possible. So one is make a list and check it twice. Of what you need versus what you want. This is an excellent strategy. If you have impulse control issues like me, you click over to Smart Pack or wherever, and you're like, whatever, you go over there looking for a bottle of, I don't know, like fly spray or whatever, something practical. And then you end up with this whole shopping cart full of, like, there's no telling what. So Carla recommends making a list of what you need, what you want, and then maybe another one, like, what you want. If you happen to find a super great deal on something, you know, it's on the list. Maybe you can make that decision.
Now, are we talking about for yourself or buying for somebody else here?
For both. I think, a lot of us have a list of stuff that we want, but then we are also shopping for for other people as well. So,
are you one of those people that cannot order online without adding something for yourself? You buy something for your husband, and you just see it, and you have to add it. Because you know what? You do save on shipping that way, which is your third thing on here, right? So if you're going to save on shipping, you might as well add it.
Yeah. You might as well. Yeah. There's no reason why you should pay for shipping from anyone on Cyber Monday. There are enough good free shipping deals out there that you should be able to find what you want without having to pay for the shipping, for sure.
I like number two is compare prices, which is something that's very important to do. And you recommended a couple of tools. One is Google Shopping, which I've used before. The other is Price Grabber, which I've never used before.
Yeah, I think that's fairly similar. I'm pulling it up right now. Yep, it's kind of pretty similar. You put in what you want, and it should, find you the best deals that are come the interweb for the best deals out there. So, I think that's in Google Shopping, kind of same sort of a deal.
Don't pay for shipping. We just talked about that. Don't subscribe to e-letters and social media. I've started unsubscribing from a lot of those. Jeez, I'll tell you what.
Oh, you just get inundated, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, yeah. I do look at some of them, but I don't look at all of them. And then 300 of them get piled up in there, and then I just go through and mass delete them all. And
yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah, I send most of my stuff goes to my spam folder, and I just like set it as spam. But if then I can go back in and look for, you know, the ground in the spam folder in case, you know, say I'm shopping somewhere and I'm like, I wonder if they've sent me a coupon or if they're having a sale thing, you know. But then it's not cluttering up my actual inbox. So that's my strategy.
All right, cool. And then make sure there's a return policy and get a gift receipt. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because
yes,
the
you've got to be able to
return
it.
That's right. And the thing you just bought for yourself, somebody's going to get you too. So you need to be able to return theirs.
That's
right.
That's right.
Well, that's good. Now, did you actually get up at 4:30 in the morning like Jamie and go shopping? Or?
Oh, on Friday?
No
way.
Today.
Cyber Monday?
Cyber Monday, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't know. No.
Now, let me tell you a little bit. What's her name again? What is her name again?
Snowball.
Snowball.
Let me tell you a little bit about Snowball. Most of the Mondays that she is on the show, she wakes up, I'd say, about 10 minutes before the show starts and sends me over the show notes about that time. So there's no early getting. You must board your horse because there's no early getting up for Leslie. Ain't happening.
Nope, not unless it's a horse show. Not unless it's something actually horse related. Nope, nothing else really.
And apparently we're included in that because she gets up about 10 minutes before the show. So if people wonder why at 10 o'clock in Eastern Time she's sounding a little sleepy, that's why. Because Jamie's had 5 cups of coffee by the time she's had her first.
Oh, man. And we were out of coffee this morning, so.
Oh, no. And there's no substitute for that.
I wonder I can string a sentence together.
There is no substitute for that. What do you do to substitute for that? You can't, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Nothing. Tea doesn't work. I love the next one you did. This is a great, I don't know where you get these ideas, but 10 horse trailers gone food. In other words, you know, the food trucks are big now. Food trucks have become a huge thing. They're really a thing. And horse trailers that have been converted into food trucks, and I swear some of these were on really bad ads that we do on Friday before they were converted. They were pretty bad. But, yeah, this is really cool. People have to go check this out.
Yeah, I love food trucks. We have food trucks all over our little town now. They just pop up, and you know, it's always good, home cooked stuff, and so Lorraine, one of our riders, Lorraine Jackson, went scouring the internet for photos of horse trailers that had been converted into food trucks and found some pretty interesting ones. Like, who knew? I guess they're mostly like bumper pulls, and she's got one. She's got a coffee trailer, a couple coffee trailers, a beer trailer, the hot
love
box.
It.
Some booze on the go. It's in London. It's like a little bar and a horse trailer. There's an idea for a horse show.
I love this bar.
Never gonna have the bar and
Eastern
the
trailers. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
It makes you realize that we should all live in England because they're so much cooler than we are.
Like, what about this one? It's a cheese trailer. It's a traveling organic cheese truck. Made out of a bumper bull horse trailer. That sounds like my dream come true.
If you think about it, horse trailers are ideal. You know, they're nothing but a big empty space in the middle. You can build them out any way you want to, right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
so they really are ideal for this kind of thing. And most of them have the big ramp in the back, so when you're loading and unloading, you don't have to worry about getting through a little door.
Yeah. It's kind of genius. There's a pizza one, an ice cream one. A donut, hot mini donuts.
can.
Which is appropriate for a little horse trailer because you couldn't make full-size ones. We tried unsuccessfully, by the way, yesterday. I had the fryer because I fried the turkey this year, so I had the fryer out. And I thought, well, we'll try and make – we tried to make funnel cakes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. That looks so easy when the little guy at the fair is in there going and it comes out in 2 minutes looking like a funnel cake. Not so easy when you're trying it yourself at home.
Okay.
It wasn't
people
good at all.
People do not make personalized funnel cakes, Glenn. What were
well,
you thinking?
Apparently that's true. I found that out.
How do you even do that? Like,
well, I went and found the recipe, and then you mix up all this stuff, and I thought this was going to be great. And then the day before, I love fried green beans. I don't know if you guys have ever had fried green beans at restaurants. You know, they're in the coating, and they're really good. And we tried to make fried green beans, and pretty much that was a failure, too, the day before. So did not do well in trying to do fair foods at home.
Now, Snowball, I just want to point out that one of these days we're going to be, like, watching, you know, Tosh.0 or some sort of comedy show, you know, America's Funniest Home Videos, and there's going to be a thing where a guy has the turkey fryer, and then there's a huge, you know, explosion and fire, and he has no eyebrows left and no hair on his head, and that's going to be Glenn. That's going to be Glenn. We're going to see you on TV. Don't you know fryers are always a bad idea?
I solved that problem. I got the indoor turkey fryer from Butterball. So it solved that problem because it controls the temperature and everything. And the reason I did is because I almost burnt down Jennifer's brother's house with the other kind of turkey fryer that has the open flame in the big pot. I had stuck the thermometer in after we put the turkey in. And what I didn't know was that when we came back out, the thing was bubbling, and I thought it was going to catch on fire. And I said, what the hell's wrong with this? It's only showing 350 degrees, just like it's supposed to be. Yet it was way too hot. And the turkey, when I pulled it out, was black on the outside.
Oh.
The thermometer had stuck into the turkey breast when I put it in. So we were getting the temperature of the inside of the turkey, not the oil. And when I put it back in the oil and turned the fire off, it was at 510 degrees, and the flash point is 520.
Uh-oh.
We were 10 degrees away from burning the house down. So, yes, I could have been that person on that show.
I always see the ones where the people put the turkey in there and there's an open flame underneath it and they overflow the oil.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Which is a bad idea.
I eliminated
my neighbor was
that.
Doing
I threw
a
that one away.
Yeah, my neighbor was you had one of those, and Chad and I just kind of sat at the window and were like, here he goes, here he goes, here he goes.
Oh, it didn't work.
Darn it. I was thinking he was going to catch. These food trucks are awesome.
Well, I just want to say first, if anybody has tips on making funnel cakes at home, please post them on our Facebook page because I'm not very good at it. Okay, go ahead, please.
Glenn, you would be coming to us from your bed because a crane would have to lift you out of your house. Like, that is a bad idea. Do not make funnel cakes at home.
They're so good.
It would be a bad idea. So the food truck thing, I was noticing these horse trailers. These are tiny little, like those really bad ad trailers that we find, like two horse bumper pulls people have converted. And I just want to point out that I have a horse trailer with living quarters, and I can't cook crap in that thing. So I don't know how people claim all this food.
Yeah, I don't know. Right? I don't know. Maybe it's pre-made.
Prep.
They just have to heat it up.
The beer truck is a good idea, though. I like that one.
Oh, man.
But yours has already been converted to that. It's the only thing you do make in yours.
I know. We don't really make it, Glenn. We just consume it.
HorseNation.com is where you can find all of this and more every single day. They're posting new stuff, about 10 a day, I'd say. And I'm sure it's going to get more holiday-ish as we go along, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's full on. We're going full on into holiday mode, so watch out.
All right.
You never know.
Very good. Well, I'm going to text your husband a little later and let him know that he should be calling you Snowball for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
Although
see
I know Jamie did.
Snowball.
But Jamie came up. You didn't say what your name was in the little elf generator.
I think I did. Let me look here.
It's Brandy Butter Shiny Flakes.
Yeah, Brandy Butter Shiny Flakes. That's me.
I'm Mary Mulligig. What? I don't even. I can't even say. You wouldn't give me a last name. I can't even say.
Listen, I didn't make it up. Okay, you are Mary Mullingfig.
I like Jennifer's ginger snap. I'll be calling her that the rest of the month. Do you think I'll get hit later in the day? About the third time I call her that?
Probably for other reasons. Who knows?
Thank you so much, Snowball.
Sure thing. You guys have a great week.
Right, bye, Snowball.
Bye, Brandy. What is it?
Just call me Brandy Wine. I don't know. Brandy Booze.
Brandy Wine.
Brandy Butter. That's me. Brandy Butter.
Brandy Butters.
You could say that with a southern accent. Brandy Butter.
Brandy Butter. She got the best name. She got the best name.
All right. Well, we got a couple minutes here. I was taking a look around, and I thought, well, it's been a silly show. We'll just end on something silly. I've been taking a look around. You know how every once a month, the beginning of the month, I do this surveys, and I take a look on Google, and I just put in survey shows over the last month to see what the surveys are.
Oh, come up I put in
Christmas surveys this time, and so these are all Christmas-related. British consumers plan to spend more this Christmas. Men spend a third more on Christmas presents than women. Now, that one surprises me. I didn't go in and look, but doesn't that surprise you?
No, and I'll tell you why. No. Because women, we are right now at Cyber Monday scouring the internet for the best deals we can find. We are running to four different stores trying to find the best deal. And what does a man do? December 24th, baby. There you go. That's why you spend more, because you don't plan.
Okay, I give you that one. 90% of businesses throwing Christmas party. Remember a couple of years ago during the recession? This has been cyclical. I worked at businesses that decided, oh, the economy's bad, we're not having a Christmas party. And then the next year, the economy get better, so they'll have a Christmas party. I think that's kind of a cyclical thing. By the way, Jamie, you're not invited to any Christmas party. We're going to have one. I just want to let you know.
I don't think you're having one, so thank you very much.
No. 1 in 5 Britons will drink and drive this Christmas. I was surprised it was only 1 in 5. Don't drink and drive, but I was still surprised it was only 1 in 5.
They have beer trucks and horse trailers. That's why.
Price of Christmas trees going up. Well, there's a surprise. Don't they go up every year? Isn't that the rule?
Yeah.
Hey, I got to keep you informed on this. I'll keep everybody up to date. We actually bought a fake Christmas tree for the first time in years. Ever since we've had the terror cat, the beast, we have not had a Christmas tree because he likes to climb things, and we were afraid he'd just knock it over, and every morning we'd come out and be on the ground. So this year we decided we're going to give it a try. We missed having a Christmas tree. We found one at for $29 on sale, a 6-foot fake Christmas tree with the lights already on it. So we thought, you know, it's a $29 cheap Christmas tree. If he destroys it, he won't lose much.
Glenn,
he doubts it
down. Full disclosure here. Where did we get the $29 Christmas tree?
I don't remember.
We got it at the Goodwill store.
Oh, that's right. We did buy it at the Goodwill store. It was new. It was in the box, so it wasn't used. So we buy it, and we bring it home, and we put it up yesterday, and it was still up this morning. Now, full disclosure, too, we did put any nice ornaments on it. We bought bows and fake cheap balls because we knew that he was going to destroy those, too. So we'll keep you informed of how many days we're having a pool here, how many days it takes for him to knock the Christmas tree over.
Absolutely.
So we'll let you know.
It's not going to take long. It is not going to take long. I can guarantee it. I'm posting a picture on Horses in the Morning Facebook page that kind of relates to that story you just told. Carry on. You'll see it in a second.
All right. Survey shows men keener to shop in stores than women. And that's that whole wait till the last minute. We don't have time to ship a thing. I think that goes along
exactly.
With that. Half of dog owners could make their or survey show half of dog owners could make their pets ill this Christmas. And I had to read that one because I was like, okay, what's that one about? And that one's pretty much just about the crap you feed your dogs because you're feeding them scraps. That's what that one was about. Studies show that 3% of Canadians already own a smartwatch. Now, I'm not sure about this. I'm not going to spend $300 on a smartwatch. What do you think about the whole smartwatch thing?
I don't really know what it is, so sorry for being ignorant. What is the smartwatch?
Smartwatches now are things that, you know, Apple's going to be coming out with one shortly. There's a bunch of them out there. And basically they tie into your phone so you could answer a phone call through your smartwatch. Some of them actually tell the time. You know, they have certain things. They have all the health stuff built in to track your steps and all of that.
Did I just hear you say some of them actually tell the time?
Yeah, I mean, no. You can actually get it to tell the time. Don't want to spend $300 to $400 on that. I don't know. I don't care if it ties to my phone. It's kind of get smartish, but I don't know.
If I spend $300 to $400 on a watch, it's going to have the brand name of Rolex on it.
Yeah, exactly. And it will tell the time accurately. Now, the last one I found... I just saw your post on Facebook. That's funny. You have to check that out on the Facebook page. And the last one I found is the 12 study shows the 12 days of Christmas items cost more than $116,000 this year. So price has gone up for the 12.
How do you put a price on maids of milking?
Well, here's the breakdown. Partridges are $20. By the way, they're up from $15. Birds went up. Pear tree, $188. Two turtle doves, $125. Three French hens, $181. Four calling birds. They're damn expensive. $600 for four calling birds.
Wow.
Five gold rings, $750. I don't know where they shop, but I think that should be higher. Six geese a laying, $360 if you want six geese, by the way, Jamie. Seven swans a swimming. Swans are expensive. Everybody knows that swans should be. They look more expensive, don't they, than geese? I mean, swans look more expensive than geese. $7,000 for seven swans. $1,000 each for a swan. Eight maids of milking. $58. I don't know. That seems cheap to me to get eight maids to milk your cow.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem cheap? Yeah.
It does. It's underpriced.
That's not even minimum. That's not even minimum wage. I don't know where they figured that one out.
By the way,
the nine ladies dancing, and I guess it depends which club you get them from, are expensive because that's $7,500 for the nine ladies dancing.
Wow. That sounds about right.
It depends on the club. 10 lords of leaping, $5,300. You can get 10 lords for less than nine ladies. It shows you how cheap we are. Wow.
Yeah.
11 pipers piping, $2,600, and 12 drummers drumming, $2,800. So there you go. There's the breakdown. And I think it's required by all radio shows every Christmas that they do that list. I think that's required. Yeah, we have to do it. Now it's done and over with. We don't have to do it again.
Well, listen, Mary and Ginger Snap, it's been really fun. Coming at you live, Brandy Butter Shiny Flakes, right here. And I did get some deals to share with you about the Cyber Monday. Yeah, a couple of listeners let us know that, let's see, Uta said that JoJo Socks, our friends over at JoJo Socks, have a 40% off their entire website. That's cray cray.
Wow.
Yeah, that's insane. And then Denise said, cray cray. That's crazy. It's what the kids say.
By the way, that's jojosox.com. JoJoSox.com.
Yep. And then Denise said that there's a helmet on sale for $20 with free shipping at TroxelHelmets.com/sale. So check those out and keep looking through. Hopefully people will post some more Cyber Monday deals. Now, I put a bunch of them on there, so you can go look at those. And I've been shopping for a while. I need to get up. I need to leave.
You need to, like, get dressed. Go outside, feed your horses.
Yeah.
Kind of that time of day. Yeah.
It is. This has been fun.
Yes, this has been a fun show. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it. We hope we got you into a little bit of the holiday mood today. Tomorrow I'll be allowed to play holiday music throughout the entire show, so we'll make sure that you can do that.
Do you know what that means, Glenn? because I know, okay. like, you know, mostly every word to Christmas songs because I worked at the Gap for a Christmas season one year when I was 16, and I remember every word of every Christmas song because I heard them like 10,000 times. Is that means I get to sing. I'm going to sing all month just for you, my friend. I know you're
Well,
excited.
You know what, though? You know what, though? I also know, because we've done this show long enough now, so many years, which are your least favorite Christmas songs. So I will make sure to put those in the lineup as we go along.
Oh,
too.
No. Oh,
you won't
no.
be singing to any of those. Certain Donkey comes to mind.
No! End the show. Move on.
An Italian Donkey comes to mind.
Hey, Zooter gals. Have a great day. Now, thanks for that. The song's in my head. Bring it on home. Bring it on home.